Welcome to One Nation Radio. And now, here are your hosts, Rich Latta and James Floyd. And thank you for listening.
One Nation Sports.
Yo, what's good? This is Wale, and this is One Nation Radio. You already know.
Welcome to One Nation Radio. James, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just ready to get to it.
And if you guys can't tell by the music, we have a very special guest. Special guest, what's going on? Sierra Reed. How's it going?
First off, this is bullshit. Did you play this?
I'm just letting you know now that every time you make an appearance from here on out, like, 1-2 step is gone, so now next song is going to be like Get Up or My Goodies or whatever else.
Oh, or whatever.
I will make this my last appearance if that's going to happen.
See, you're trying to ruin the gimmick, I see.
Telling you. Hater.
Well, it's been an interesting week of wrestling, packed Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
We got NXT Brooklyn. We had Super Slam.
Oh, my God.
And Monday Night Raw, where all types of crazy shit just happened.
Yep.
And where should we begin? I mean, we could start right at the top with Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker.
Yeah, we got to.
So they come out there and redeem themselves for WrestleMania 30. Then Undertaker taps out. All of a sudden, the timekeeper, who didn't feel the need to ring the bell during the Seth Rollins match.
Nope. Or any other matches in the previous, 100-year history of the sport. Back during the Carney days.
Right. He didn't feel the need to go ahead and interrupt then. But, he was moved by the spirit, I guess, when he saw The Undertaker tap out. And it leads to some type of fluky finish where Undertaker, unleashes his new signature move, in the long line of signature moves he has, like the choke slam, the last ride, now he has the low blow. And taps out or makes Lesnar pass out, and he's awarded the victory and, under heel pretenses. Immediately the build for a rematch began. What did you guys, what was going on with you guys when you saw this result?
Go ahead, Sierra.
I knew that they were going to go to another rematch. It's just, they've been building towards this, that this can't be the one and done situation. Undertaker's redeeming himself and Brock Lesnar still wants a piece of him, but I don't know. I'm kind of like okay with the finish because, like I said, it's going to lead to something else again. But I hope after, if this is going to happen at Mania, this is it.
Like Michael Jackson.
I want to see something else. I don't want to keep seeing this same thing over and over. Let's move on. Let's have Brock Lesnar terrorize somebody else. Undertaker go back into hiding forever, how long he does. So that's how I felt.
Why are they trying to make us boo the Undertaker?
I don't know. It makes no sense. Like, because the thing that like, I don't know if they think about this, but the thing that for me is, okay, you're trying to train this crowd to boo Undertaker. So you have him, take the easy way out by low blowing him three times in a row, him tapping out or whatever, him weaseling out of it, or him basically being going to weasel type of victory. Like this type of victory that Seth Rollins would have got, right, at pay-per-view. The issue is, Undertaker's going to be off TV, and then he's going to come back, and it's going to be, oh yeah, wow, I heard the gong. I haven't heard from that guy in months. He's the oldest legend we have left that still wrestles. I'm glad to see him. Yay! And then, like, all of that was for nothing, and they're going to have to do this over again anyway.
I will boo The Undertaker at this point because I don't see the point of sacrificing Lesnar's drawing power.
So really what you're saying is you're booing The Undertaker because you don't like what WWE's doing. That's really what you're saying. Like, it's stupid.
I don't understand why they would want to shit on what they've done with Lesnar so far. I mean, yeah. I know there's only so long you can have him just kill the entire roster, and you have to find someone eventually you can present on equal footing with him. But how about a new person rather than a 50-year-old guy that does magic tricks or low blows?
Well, who would it be? I mean, the only people that Lesnar wants to work with that's a new school dude is Seth Rollins. And he destroyed Seth Rollins 6 weeks ago.
Well, you know, that's what WWE, like, they've got to produce something better than this Roman Reigns shit that's just crashing and burning. They can't just keep running them out there with John Cena 3 and 4 times. It's...
Or Undertaker.
Three times.
Triple H 3 times.
Yeah. Like, but there's this trilogy thing. It's just...
There's so many people on that roster that they can use, as opposed to keep going to that same well of the same people over and over. I understand that they, for whatever reason, want to keep going back to 2002 and revisiting all these old feuds. But at this point, I think it's time to let it go and move forward. Some of these fans that are watching the television right now don't even know anything about these feuds. Okay, he beat The Undertaker. Okay, we had the match. I'm not going to sit up and boo The Undertaker, but it's going to get to a point where fans are going to get tired of seeing this over and over, especially when you turn on Raw and they have Brock come out there. I don't know what it is, but they're like somewhat trying to paint him as a baby face. Like, he's still a monster and he's beating up everybody, but they're still trying to paint him as he's cool and you should somewhat like him. They kind of did this like years ago, back in 2003. And it did not work. So I don't know what they're trying to do with the booking in that.
Well, I mean, if it didn't work in 2003, it's working now. The thing is, he's been a face since WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, he can't... I mean, they turned him into a face, you know, because of the backlash that Roman Reigns is getting, where they had no choice. Now, as far as the, you know, the feuds with the other guys, I feel like they want him in a match to where people will tune in to watch him fight this guy because he could possibly lose, right? Like, you know, the analogy I always use is no one's going to watch SummerSlam if we got John Cena and Rock on the other hand fighting Awesome Truth. No one's buying that. So who could they bring in right now to wrestle Brock Lesnar? Let's say they didn't do this right now. Let me go back in time 3 months. Who could they have put before Brock Lesnar in a match that wasn't John Cena or wasn't Undertaker or wasn't Triple H that someone would actually buy being able to beat him?
I mean, there's a guy that they won't clear, but,
you know. So that's the one guy.
Yeah.
Who's on the roster that's cleared and can wrestle right now, though? That's true. Daniel Bryan is up there. They probably would have had Brock Lesnar beat the crap.
Oh, yeah, they would have had Lesnar destroy him, but...
Yeah.
That's the match.
Right.
I'm not ready to say Finn Balor.
No.
No.
I mean, if you really... Like, they would have had to really do some work with Cesaro to elevate him that far. But at the same time, you know...
But you bring him up to fight Cesaro, and you're just like, oh, this is like every big Cesaro match. He's going to be fantastic and lose.
Yeah.
Why not put Cesaro with him? With Brock?
You said what?
Why not put Cesaro with Brock?
I mean,
it's different.
But different. Well, they don't put Brock Lesnar on the card to pay all that money for him to do quote unquote different stuff. Like, I think maybe you put Orton. Orton's the guy. So that's one guy. Like, that's the only guy I can imagine them actually putting in the ring with him and be like, oh, okay. Let's see. There's actually people that want to see this match.
I mean, Sheamus, I think that would be really hard hitting.
Yes, it would. It would be strong style. Yes. Yeah. I agree.
Oh my god.
But
yeah.
Would it draw?
Well, the thing is,
anything will draw because it's Lesnar.
Anything will draw because it's Lesnar, and anything will draw because it's the network. They already have our money. Like, they don't have these worries.
But it's SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if that was any old B pay-per-view, then yeah, definitely. But if it's SummerSlam, they're actually trying to sell some of those pay-per-views on the dish and all that other stuff. Like, on the B pay-per-views, TLC, have at it. They'll have them go out there and wrestle El Torito for all they care.
You know, they had Brock wrestling Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, exactly. Who do you think he's going to fight at Madison Square Garden? Because it's early October, right?
Yeah. Why not Cesaro? Fuck it. Like,
yeah.
But let's move on. From Brock Lesnar to Undertaker, we had Kevin Owens, Cesaro.
Wait. Before we do that.
Okay.
Do you think this match is only going to be, is going to just be, is it just put in place for summer, for, I'm sorry, for WrestleMania?
I would advise them against that. Why don't they just bring it to the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view and get it over with so they can really move on to something else? Because just stretching out these rematches for so long, it's just not interesting. And I think that's the only thing that can take this feud to a higher level is to give them the Hell in a Cell gimmick and do it at Hell in a Cell.
I feel that, you know, given that this match is good, I feel like there is, and it's not as overexposed and brought up like once a month, like how Rock Cena was, the second one, or actually just, you know, that whole 2 year or 3 year build up for those two matches. So, like, in my mind, it's still a fresher match. But, I mean, at a certain point, there is going to, as you said, there will be diminishing returns.
All right. Kevin Owens defeated Cesaro in a semi-main event of SummerSlam, which I don't know if y'all want to count that as a true semi-main event. That's a far-ass jump. Barbarian, he made it, too. Barbarian made it, too, out there. We got this here, 1997 Nitro, playing in the background on mute. Barbarian is wrestling a guy we can't speak of.
Who? Oh, Benoit?
hey, easy.
Yeah. It's a WWE podcast. How dare you?
Chris Benoit.
It's a WWE podcast. How dare you?
Well, I mean, he's there.
Well, I mean, WWE ain't cutting us no check, so not yet.
That was a joke, man.
Kevin Owens defeated Cesaro. I watched that match again last night. Pretty good match. Solid win. Owens definitely needed it after all these major losses he's been taking.
Yeah.
That we can kill the hype train for they hate Owens hype train for a little bit.
Yeah. I thought it was a really good match. I just felt like because it got the slot that's normally given to the Divas. The crowd was tired. They were just like, we want the main event, just hurry up. I mean, because the match was way better than the crowd reaction it got.
Yeah. I think the reason, rather than the death spot, it went there was because they didn't want to put Rollins versus Cena right next to Undertaker versus Brock. Because
he's going to get outworked.
No, not that, because they were both fuck finishes.
Oh, like,
they
both
had screwy endings. So yeah. That's the reason I think they ended up swapping. Go ahead.
The match just reminded me. I thought I was watching Ring of Honor for a minute. Like, all I needed was the rated black ring with the streamers flowing, Chris Hero in Cesaro's corner, and El Generico in Kevin Owens' corner. You know, that's what I felt like I was watching for a minute, and then I realized it was not.
I think I saw someone try to attempt to throw streamers in the ring.
You sure that was SummerSlam or was that NXT? Because NXT, they definitely tried to.
Yeah, I think it might have been NXT then.
Yeah, like the main event of TakeOver.
All that shit ran together, right?
Kind of sort of did. Yeah, so it definitely for apparently that's what, if you rewatch that match, you'll see there's some commotion at the beginning of the match. You see the crowd kind of like looking up and over, like distracted. For the NXT main event, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, because you see them doing the yes chant, I'm thinking, like, did Daniel Bryan just walk out and sit in the seat or something like that? So I start, you know, typing around, and then Meltzer mentioned that there were a bunch of guys that threw streamers, only one of them actually got to the ring, and then they actually, like, Barclays security was going to kick him out, and then they're chanting, no, let them stay, and then they I guess WWE was like, well, you know, this is what they do here. Tradition. Because, you know, it's not, you know, Barclay don't know nothing. Like, they're, you know, it's a basketball stadium. Yeah. So they were like, okay, all right, yeah. You come back. And then they were like, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But, yes, getting back to the match, Cesaro and Owens, they were beating the crap out of each other. Like, he gave him a charging European uppercut, like, out by the barrier. And, like, he hit him so hard, he just knocked him on his ass. I was surprised they were hitting each other that hard. I was wondering if there was beef or something.
My favorite move in the match was when Cesaro did that, the springboard European uppercut. He hits Owens with it, and basically Owens just crunches back onto his neck. Like, like he was being taken to Suplex City or something. Like, it was crazy. But on to the train wreck that was the Team PCB versus
Save
Team
that, Bella. Save that. This move, that's the next segment.
Okay. I got something. Next segment. We've got a whole...
Yeah.
It's time to start judging. Seth Rollins versus John Cena. Rollins comes out dressed in all white because the good guys wear white.
How many white Power Ranger memes did you see?
I've seen a lot. Like, it would be like... Like, all the Power Rangers, but Seth Rollins' face digitally imposed on the white one.
Yeah, on Tommy.
Yeah. That's Andy Guerrero's brother. Or uncle. That was Hector Guerrero.
Damn.
Yeah. Then Rollins was wearing that white. Cena comes out, you know, gets the John Cena sucks chance.
Just a sea of it. It sounded so beautiful.
A lot of white and gold. This weekend.
Yeah, a lot of people out here realizing their childhood dreams.
Yeah, dressed like Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 12.
Yeah.
You know, Rollins and Cena pretty much have the standard great Cena match at this point where, you know, you wrestle for 5 minutes, then all of a sudden let's get into these near falls. This man Rollins hits an amazing frog splash on the top rope, which is like, no disrespect, but it's killing that Guerrero shit.
Okay.
Like, that man jumped like a full foot higher than Guerrero.
Sierra, get this man.
I'm not.
I can't. I okay.
Yeah. Cena no sold it immediately, picked the ball. Like, yeah, like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, it was like 1, 2. And nope, I'm just rolling up and, you know, AAU. Yeah.
But they did I felt like they played to the crowd knowing that, you know, this is clearly hill country.
Yeah.
So, like, they had Seth doing a lot of face-type stuff. Like, the...
Phoenix
like
Splash.
The Phoenix Splashes, the die... Or the Miss Phoenix Splashes. The dive suit... Or the topes or whatever. The suicide dive over the top. Basically making fun of Cena by doing his basically, like... Like, you catch a crossbody, you roll over it, and you do the AA. They basically just, you know, they were like, let's do it. You know, we're going to try the best match we can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, until the finish, of course.
Right, and speaking of the finish, John Stewart runs out to the ring. At this point, we don't know why he's running out there.
Well,
he's the host of SummerSlam.
You go out,
they laid the foundation earlier in the night talking about he's a wrestling fan and all that stuff. I think it just, like, might have went over all our heads.
Well, I mean, I had to, you know... We had a SummerSlam party, so I had to rewatch all of SummerSlam because you don't do much watching. You do a lot of talking about how, when stuff sticks out about how bad it was, you're mostly talking about, wow, look at Big E gyrating. That's ridiculous. Like, that was what we were doing most of the night. So I had to rewatch it. Sarah, what were your thoughts on this match?
I was fine with everything until the Jon Stewart thing, and I was just like, why?
Mm-hmm.
What was the purpose? Like, okay, to put this over another obstacle for John Cena to climb over. And it was just like, I never been on a train of, like, I hate John Cena, I can't stand John Cena, I don't want to see John Cena. But after that, I was just like, I am getting sick and tired of him having to go through these loops all the time. Like, why can't we just have a clean finish and just be done with it? I mean, why are we gonna have Jon Stewart come out there and interfere? It's, come on. What are we gonna do? What are we building to? What does this go towards?
Well,
doesn't make sense.
Ultimately, what it went towards was trying to trend on Twitter on me on a newsworthy site for the fact, You know, John Stewart got AA. It worked, but I mean, like...
Prostituting the business.
But that... But that stupid stuff should be for matches on the undercard nobody pays attention to. Not the freaking title match. Like, that stuff needs to be cut out. Like, that's one thing I don't like about SummerSlam is that when they bring these celebrities in, just like Mania, they always come up with these wacky finishes or these wacky segments. Like,
that's why I don't understand why folks love SummerSlam so much.
I think what happened is they felt that, wow, you know, yeah, that's a title match, but that's not the main event, so we'll just do whatever. Well, so this essentially is on the undercard, and then they treated it as such. I mean, they gave us, I don't know how long that match was, but they gave us over 15 minutes of greatness. So, I mean, yeah, to me, it felt like once I saw what they did on Raw, then it's like, okay, it's not as bad. But at first, I was just like everybody else. I was just bullshit about it.
Yeah, I would think, why wouldn't they? They could just have Flair do the same thing Stewart did.
Yeah, but like that means you're turning Ric Flair heel at this point. Like, ain't nobody trying to boot on Ric Flair. Like, he's just a cool old man at this point. That's what he's been billed as.
Or an aloof old man.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just not have him do anything. Just
go out there and cry with Charlotte. No. Whenever she wins.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Rollins, two belts now. Yeah. The WWE World Heavyweight United States Champion.
Oh, I asked Rich this last night. I'm going to ask you, Sierra. Is Seth Rollins going to continue to wrestle in all white?
Well, that's kind of hard because, you know, sometimes he wrestles with people with self-tanner on, and that rubs off. And, you know, getting dirt and, oh, God, just, yeah, that's going to be a lot. It'd be different, completely different. Like, when's the last time you've seen somebody wrestle in all white like that besides Bo Dallas?
You could say Del Rio.
Yeah, Del Rio used to wear a lot of white.
Because, Del Rio wore, I mean, but he wasn't wearing, like, tights. He wasn't wearing, like, full-length tights. He was wearing, like, the underwear joints, and then he, you know, he would sometimes wear the white boots, or he wore the gold boots.
Yeah. But I mean, like, just completely just drenched in it. Like,
drenched in white?
Yeah, I can't.
Looking like a gallon of milk. I'm sorry. Continue.
Why would Vashon wear something Paige would wear right now?
Oh my God. I'm sorry, what were you saying, Sierra?
Like, just drenched in white. Like, just the whole, like, continue to wear the white attire. Like, it's not many people who did that besides Del Rio, like I said, and then Bo Dallas. But I mean, it's not many people. Everybody sticks. It's too many people wearing black now. Everybody's kind of like blending in. So maybe that's why they went with the white. He's kind of blending in. Like, if you look at, you know, him and Roman Reigns, yeah, they were partners in the Shields, but they both were still kind of like wearing the same black outfits.
Yeah. Essentially,
and it's just like it feels like they never separated.
Well, speaking of that, the next match on the card was Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. We had a tag match with no turn. Lots of speculation leading up that either Ambrose or Reigns would turn. Most people thought Ambrose would be the one to turn, even though Reigns probably makes more sense to turn.
Yes.
I predicted the Wyatt family to win, but pleasant surprise. I'll take Ambrose and Reigns winning. The crowd really was on Roman Reigns the whole time. He was booed and
soundly.
He got a Roman sleeping chant.
Yep.
And immediately he woke his ass up off the ground and got back up on the apron. I don't know if he heard it or anything like that. But
you know what that reminded me of? Well, two things. One, it reminded me of Royal Rumble, how he was laying on the damn mat the whole match.
Yeah.
Two, I believe it was either a Shield versus Wyatt Brothers, or Wyatt Family, or Shield versus Evolution match, where, like, Dean Ambrose was, like, never to be seen again forever.
That was the first one.
the first Evolution match? Yeah. And that's where, like, where the hell were you? And they almost, they teased him split up. Yeah. Like, that was sort of reminded me. I was like, where the hell are you? Like, get your ass up.
That's where I thought the term was, where Ambrose would lose, and then Reigns would get back in, and he'd be like, where the fuck were you? I was trying to tag you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ambrose would swing on that man, and the whole crowd would lose it.
You know what that sounds
cheer
like?
Cheer Ambrose.
You know what kind of feud that sounds like?
What?
That sounds like something they had planned for Hulk Hogan and Macho Man when the Mega Powers were going to split up. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, I forgot who said it when we were over here. Like, if
I think I said it, actually.
It might have been. I'm not sure. You said the Wyatt family was Big Boss Man and Akeem.
No, you said that. I was like, you were like, well, I guess that means they're Big Boss Man and Akeem. I was like, no, man, don't talk about Luke Harper like that. How dare you?
So, same type of feud. But the fans are really on Roman Reigns. What's Roman Reigns' deal? Sierra? What's his problem?
You know what the deal is? Is when after that report came out that they were trying to make him the next John Cena, that's when I know his fans completely turned on him.
Mm-hmm.
They just did not give a rat's ass. That they had turned on him before Mania. Because it was around the time he was injured, and when all those reports came out and stuff, fans were just like, no, not another Cena, once enough, can I have a second? And his momentum just died, and it's just, no matter what they do with him, it just
doesn't work.
The fans are just done. And it sucks because a couple months ago, you know, maybe like last year around this time, fans was like all over him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's like, he's being treated like the jackass. Like, nobody wants to be around him. No one wants to deal with him. And it's just like crazy to me that they can turn so fast. But I mean, that's wrestling fans for you. They hate you one day, the next day, they your biggest fan.
I think that he's, in a lot of the ways that Dean, or that Bray Wyatt, like, pretty much cooled off Dean Ambrose at the end of last year. That's sort of, I mean, Roman Reigns wasn't exactly the hottest thing in the world, the hottest property in the industry to begin with, but, like,
Bray Wyatt, where guys go to die.
Bray Wyatt, like, who has he ever been a feud that gotten over besides, like, making Daniel Bryan a little bit hotter? Is that the only guy?
Yeah. Like,
he ain't do shit for Kane, obviously.
He ain't do shit for Jericho.
Nope.
He actually had us questioning whether Jericho was washed up or not.
Yeah, and then you go and see him. And then you see him have the match the very next pay-per-view with Randy Orton. You're like, oh, never mind. And then months later, you see him fight Neville in Japan. Yeah. You're like, oh, never mind. I don't know, man. I mean,
he
I feel...
do shit for Undertaker.
Nope. Like, but I mean, Undertaker ain't do shit for Bray Wyatt either. Let's be fair. I think that we have to start looking at Bray Wyatt in terms of the way you know, like, you watch baseball. You know, like, the third starter on your team, the guy that's like, yeah, he has, like, a 4.5 ERA, but he's also going to eat up 200-plus innings?
Mm-hmm.
He's that guy. Like, because he has a faction, which means he, like, he'll, like, wrestle occasionally on TV for you, or he'll have one of his goons do that, and then
gives you a lot of TV time.
And then he'll also, like, cut a 5-minute promo later in the show. So, like, for their minds, like, wow, he'll eat up 20 minutes for us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put this guy on TV no matter what.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or not, it may be good one night, it may not be. We'll throw his ass out there.
Let's quickly run through the rest of the SummerSlam, then we'll go to break and get into Monday Night Raw and also the Divas.
Okay.
We had the triple threat match. Ryback retains, pretty much a nothing match. Stephen Amell.
I thought that was a good, like, a smart match. Like, it only needs to be 5 minutes, have a bunch of near falls, be quick, don't do anything boring.
Miz's gear was tight.
Yeah, and I feel like they accomplished it. Big Show came out there with, like, racing stripes. I guess that man's sleek and fast now. I don't know.
Yeah. Stephen Amell and Neville take on Stardust and King Barrett.
Sierra, what do you think of this match? Because I, my whole thing was just sitting there talking to myself, just trying to convince myself, like, I don't care because I don't know who the fuck that guy is. So, what was your thoughts on that match?
I had the same thoughts that I did not care and I didn't understand why the hell I had to watch it.
Damn. All right.
completely. Yo, he has a million followers on Twitter.
Who?
Stephen Amell has a million followers on Twitter, which Roman Reigns barely had before WrestleMania.
You always bring that up. What is...
Oh,
I just find it interesting.
No, what happened was he was like most red-blooded Americans. He was upset that Roman Reigns won the Royal Rumble. So yeah. He's like, this dude ain't got a million. This dude, well, the problem is like, he only has like 0.8 million followers. How the fuck
like
is he gonna be?
50,000. Like Daniel Bryan has like 2.5 million at this time. And then I kept finding random wrestlers that had more than a million followers. It was like Santino, R-Truth. It was just I was occasionally just sending James these screenshots of these follower counts, and then Reigns finally got over a million, like, not too long ago, and it was a cause for celebration.
Did he get to a million in time for WrestleMania, or no?
No. I don't think he did. Then we had Dolph Ziggler and Rusev get themselves double count out. Like, so lazy.
Just ready that... They did that so they can basically run and have the women's match. Or, I'm sorry, the mixed tag match. That's going to happen.
What'd you think about the Rusev and Ziggler, Sierra?
I really wish that they made this a mixed tag team match. I think it would have been a good moment to have Lana and Summer Rae in there, even though I don't think Lana's been, like, fully trained to be in the ring, but... The fans are dying for that interaction, and yeah. I like Dolph Ziggler, and Rusev is not bad in the ring, but it's just that I think like fans are wanting a change instead of them going in singles back and forth over and over again. So that kind of like soured me on the match for a bit, but it wasn't a bad match. I need a change.
Right. Yeah, like the first hour of the show felt like we were watching stuff on Raw. Like, some of like, that's what it felt like to me.
The next match was the Fatal 4-Way for the tag titles. When Big E, Kofi, and Xavier came out in their golden white gear, they immediately got on the mic and ripped New York City for being dirty, and they bragged on how clean they looked in their gear. Kofi says, New York City knows nothing about hip-hop. And hip-hop originated in the South, you know, it was just hilarious, because I don't think that was the crowd that necessarily, like, would have taken offense to that, but it just sounded, like, ridiculous. Then they go off into the Empire State of Mind thing, and they talk about, it's the new day, like, it's just, these guys are excellent, and they deserve to win those tag belts back.
It was a great tag match.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everything you expect out of a multiple man tag match. It was similar to what they did at WrestleMania, except they decided to put it on the card.
Yeah.
So I mean, I hats off to them. All four teams. I'm gonna say all four teams worked hard like some Rasheed Wallace shit.
Yeah.
But they all did. I mean, they all did their job. They all, you know, they all, especially Titus. Titus and his does Titus only have the best hot tag in wrestling right now?
I mean, you could say that.
Because, dude, like, I mean, actually, in the tag division, if you say, yeah, what about John Cena, I'm going to say, fuck you. Like, what about Brock Lesnar's hot tag? Like, yeah. I don't know.
What about Bryan's hot tag?
What about The Undertaker's hot tag? No, but I mean, just, he comes out there, and every single time he ends up, poor Kofi Kingston, dude, he kicks a hole in that man's chest every time with that big boot.
What do y'all think about Big E's dance moves, though? These guys are just out here just getting it. Just jigging, as JBL was saying.
He didn't say he was jigging.
I believe he did.
No, he did not. I would have remembered that if he said about him jigging, okay? Like, him saying anything about him jigging or soft-shoeing, I would have definitely distinctly remembered that, okay, sir? Especially given his old previous gimmicks.
You know. So, does the Big E dance do anything for you, Sierra?
No. Like, he is the most awkward dude I've ever seen, but he looks like you would just have like fun with him, but like you'd be embarrassed as well. I don't know, he's got like a off the wall personality. Some of the dances he'd be doing, I just play, what in the world is that? I've never seen that.
Not to be overlooked, because I know we're talking, I know this is most ridiculous, but like just to the left of him in the shot when he was doing all that hip swiveling, Kofi was out there doing all of this. I don't know what is the name of this dance. Look, I'm glad there ain't no camera on me right now. but he was I get, for lack of a better word, I'm gonna say he was out there bopping. Or, wow. He was basically shimmying, and then after he got the pin, he did like this weird thing where he's basically like jumping on his shoulders. Like his shoulders were on the mat, and he's like jumping up and down with his shoulders. It was just ridiculous. Like these dudes have just through sheer will of saying you guys are not going to fuck us, they got over.
Yep.
And I mean, like, they're saying that to like the crowd and to backstage. Yep. They set him up with that in his whack ass gimmick, and they've gotten over with all this stuff. Brock, kudos. I can't heap enough praise upon these three. I just can't.
Well, I mean, according to Virgil, the only reason why they got over is because of him, so.
What up, Virgil?
Isn't he, like, the most annoying black wrestler? And I hate putting his, like, ethnicity in it, but good God. Like,
Virgil don't do nothing for us. He never did nothing for us.
It's just, like, the audacity of him to think like he is the black wrestler that put all these other black wrestlers on. It's just like, God, you are really fooling yourself to actually think you're the one.
Well, how much?
And you're not even close to it.
I think he's just trolling.
Yeah, I think a lot of this. I think all of this stuff's a work for him. But
I don't think it's so. I've been told he actually thinks that stuff.
Well, it's annoying.
So, and I can believe it. He's a little off.
well, we had Sheamus and Randy Orton, and Sheamus beat Randy Orton clean for what I think is the first time ever. Took him 2 bro kicks to do it, but they had a nice little opener. Wasn't as good as last month, but
no.
This kind of threw everybody off the scent. We figured there would be no cash-in since Sheamus won. So, y'all got any thoughts on that match before we hit break?
It was a quick little in and out thing. I thought that was going to be the match to actually start out SummerSlam. I was, in a weird way, I was glad I was right. But I don't know. Like, Sheamus got to get over somehow. And if Randy Orton beats him every single pay per view, he ain't gonna get over. I mean, you gave him the briefcase for a reason, so you got to start trying to do something with him. But besides just having him fight Randy Orton and see who's the toughest.
Yeah, see who's a real man. That's going to wrap up our first segment. We'll be back to talk about Monday Night Raw and the tragedy that is the Divas Division in WWE right now.
Oh, stop.
All right. She hit you with that Gorilla Monsoon. Will you stop?
trying to turn up the drama real quick. But this is One Ninja Radio. Rappers are monkey flipping with the funky rhythm. I be kicking musician. It's like the composition of pain. I'm like, welcome back to One Nation Radio. See what the pin, I'm extreme now. Listen to Nas, New York State of Mind, SummerSlam, Brooklyn. The whole weekend they were in New York. Monday Night Raw, we had lots of surprises. All throughout the evening, we had a new member of the Wyatt family show up. We had the Dudley Boys show back up, and we also had some old dude hop out of box with face paint on, guy known as Sting, or Stang, the Stinger. James, we can just go ahead and start at the top with that. We got Sting versus Seth Rollins for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at Night of Champions. If I'm correct, the last time we saw Sting, he was shaking hands with Triple H. So, they got beef again?
Never mind that. These are not the drones you're looking for. All of that. Pay no mind to the man behind the closet, or my man behind the what is it? I don't remember the line
in the
wizard behind the curtain in Wizard of Oz. Whatever. So, yeah, it's just like never mind that. we're just retconning this shit. Never mind the handshake after it was made no sense. I'm gonna hit you in the face with a fucking sledgehammer, and then I'm gonna beat you, and, then stick my hand out here and expect you not to kill me, and then you're good with it, and you walk away, and then you come back. Where's my statue? You stole my statue. I put money on that. How much money do you think Triple H paid for that fake statue? In kayfabe money.
$10,000.
Okay, then. Like, don't... I don't understand Triple H is rich, yeah. You know, but...
Yeah, $100,000.
$10,000. You brought up this old money shit. I can't believe you.
Know, that man's had money since 1995, bro. 20 years in the game.
So, what the... Like, $10,000? Like, nah, bro. Like, I'm taking...
Oh, he's coming for that?
I want... When you want your $10,000 back?
I believe I would, you know, speaking to somebody that, you know... I'd like the $10,000.
You always joke about Undertaker being a magician and all that magic shit. You explain to me how the fuck Sting made a big ass bronze statue that weighed like 1,000 pounds disappear in thin air.
Yeah, you know, we always said them boys we had light gimmicks. I'm not worried about the match at all. I'm sure the match will be good, but what in the hell would the finish be like?
I mean, I don't know what the finish would be. I know what I hope is going to be.
What's that?
You already know what it is. I'm hoping for a Scorpion Deathlock. That's what I'm hoping for. And a tap out. Be that man cleaning the ring.
Yeah, and Sheamus probably will cash in from there.
I'm fine with that. I just want to see that man just in the record books. WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
That's the Hall of Fame.
Look, you don't know how much it means to me. You just don't know.
I guess I won't. Sierra, so what do you make of Sting showing up and declaring that he wants Rollins?
First off, when they were rolling that sheet up, I was just like, if this is Sting, I'm done. And it was Sting, and I was just like, all this time, we haven't seen you. And you want a title shot? It was just kind of like mind-boggling to me that, like, it was just like, oh, excuse me, Sting. You are worthy of a title shot, and you haven't even beat anybody else on the roster. Okay, Sting.
You haven't beat anybody at all.
At all. You hadn't even been in a damn ring since Mania. Like, what is, like, it was just so, like, crazy to me, because I was just like, what? Like, I just think that it just feels so far-fetched. It just feels like, you know what it feels like to me? Like TNA booking. I don't know what is going on. Like, this is the same shit they used to do in TNA. Sting will be gone for 6 months. You don't see or notice Sting is gone. All of a sudden, he comes out of nowhere and he wants to challenge somebody for the fucking title. And I'd be like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You haven't been here.
Well,
Just go away.
The rules don't apply to part timers. We're past that. We're past that. Part timers shouldn't get title shots. We're been past that. Rock's been champion. No. Brock's been champion. Deal with it. That's his life.
No.
She said
no.
Away,
no. No, James.
I mean, this is how it's been. Guys have been champion that don't deserve to be champion. That's what it is now.
Just go away.
I feel like this is just a cheap ploy. Yes. Because football season's coming.
Yes.
And they're scared.
Absolutely.
And they never really have a clue what to do after SummerSlam.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get with the title then.
Look, I don't have a problem.
They'll never know what the fuck they're doing. No way. So might as well fuck around and do something that people want to see just for a day. Can a nigga enjoy a dream?
Hey man, Rey Mysterio has been WWE champion longer than Sting.
I mean, why not? Let Sting
go. Got a little franchise,
and then that sets up his match against the Undertaker that everybody's been wanting for so long at Mania. There we go.
No, that's not gonna happen. Like, Sheamus is gonna cash in on that, man. That's fine. Like, look, if Sting is champion for 35 seconds, I'll be okay.
Man. Look, that sounds good now, but when James is sitting on his couch and Sheamus runs out there and bro kicks this man, he's going to be hot.
But I'm already okay with it, because all you do is you have him. All this whole thing is Rollins is going to lose the belt. Rollins doesn't get cashed in on. Or Rollins doesn't have to get cashed in on. He can go back and win his belt again. I'm fine with that. Maybe over the next month after that, there's some like dissension amongst the authority, and maybe they turn him face or Seth Rollins face. Who knows? I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. We've got also a Monday Night Raw. We might as well talk about the Divas now. There was a segment on Miz TV with Team PCB. Where they pretty much turned into feminists, in my opinion. Talking about they can beat anybody, and that goes for women and men. And I just don't think that's the right move to be making with them, because, you know, even though that they continue to bring up Ronda Rousey, but you never see Ronda out there saying she's ever gonna run it with a man.
I mean, she's been trying to get at Floyd Mayweather.
She's cut promos on Mayweather, alluding to the fact that she thinks, or whatever. That may be a work or not, but she's done it the same way. I mean, either way.
She actually wants to tag that ass. Like,
she thinks it's that easy.
The worst thing that could possibly happen. Who is that?
Kimberly.
Okay. The worst thing that could happen on our TV is seeing Floyd Mayweather hit a white blonde woman in the face. Like, that's the worst thing that could, boxing gloves or not, that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. But anyway, let's back to wrestling. I mean, I didn't necessarily think they were feminist. I thought they were cutting a promo talking about how confident they were. I mean, I felt like they were cutting like a heelish type promo.
They're interrupted by the Bella Twins.
Yep.
And they basically come out there and start shutting them down, saying wins and losses don't matter. The only thing that matters is this, while Nikki holds up the belt. Brie Bella says they're the definition of dominance or something like that. And I'm just looking at Brie Bella like, I can't believe she's saying this. Like, what the hell has Brie Bella ever been dominating? All of a sudden, and I would say the most telling part of this is these.
A year ago, Brie Bella was the hottest diva in the game. A year ago, my, how things have changed.
They basically, everyone starts arguing, and then Miz basically raises a hand and says, "Well, my arm goes up, your mouth goes shut," and the whole crowd just comes unglued.
Yeah, It wasn't necessarily the Stone Cold Steve Austin glass breaking, but it was definitely a pop.
He immediately had to turn around and say, that goes for y'all, the audience members too, and to remain a heel.
He had to be like, I have to make sure these dudes, I have to make sure they don't show their true colors. I gotta make you like, hey, you're supposed to be liking these girls because I'm the Miz and everyone hates me. Yep. But apparently, they hate one more than they hate the Miz.
Damn. Didn't know that was possible.
Nope.
Meanwhile, the woman who just had, in my opinion, a 4.5 out of 5-star match this weekend, Sasha Banks, was nowhere to be found.
Nope.
The crowd was chanting, "We want Sasha." And I don't understand the logic.
Nope.
What happened here, Sierra?
What do you think happened here? This is what the fuck happens when you allow the internet to book your fucking shows. All these people wanted these three girls to be brought up to the roster, and look, it's fucked it up worse than it was. Like, I hate saying it like that, but, I mean, it was bad enough. Now you got all these three girls thrown into these team scenarios, and we've gotten away from what was actually supposed to be important. The Divas Championship. Instead, we are having fighting in between groups, and it's just like mind-boggling to me that they've pretty much positioned Charlotte as supposed to be that next big thing in a division, when the only time the crowd reacts to her when she does the woo. No one is actually, like, behind her in that way that they want her to be. If anything, the crowd has proven that they want Sasha Banks to be that girl. Becky Lynch is great in the ring, but it's going to be a while before anybody really sees her as that firecracker to be Divas Champion.
Yeah, because she's got flag out of this world, too.
Yeah, but they set these girls as, you know, I guess they were supposed to be on a team, but when your crowd turns and looks at them as more viable competitors and challengers for the title, as opposed to the two women who have been running after the titles for the past, like, year and a half, Naomi and Paige, something is wrong there. And this booking is all off. Like I told you guys in the our chat, it's not even the matches that's the problem. It's that...
I think the matches are the problem. The problem is that the matches are better, but they're not that much better than what we were getting before.
But here's the thing. They can go out there and have a classic match. But it's up to the fans on the internet and their live to sit there and shut the hell up and not do the freaking wave during the match and give them that respect. The thing that confuses me with fans, how can you sit up and put up a hashtag about give Divas a chance, and how you every week talk about how WWE doesn't promote their women right, doesn't give their women a chance, and you don't give them a fucking chance? I don't understand. The reason why these three girls was brought up because of you guys hollering, complaining, and they don't want to take the time to sit there and be like, okay, where's the storyline going? The storyline is falling apart. This team stuff should have ended over a month ago. It's not making any sense. It looks ridiculous at this point. It's like everybody wants to be like, oh, this is my clubhouse. You can't come here. You can't sit with us. It's stupid. It's childish. It's immature. Why can't we just have all these women going for the title?
Do you think whenever a six-man tag match is booked, do we ever care about it at all in the first place, whether it's women or men?
No.
I think that's more the problem with the fans on Monday night.
True. But here's the thing. That's why I was telling you guys, like, I don't even think it's the matches. Yes, with the Divas, over the years, we've become accustomed to the six-man matches ending in 3 minutes. But when you get these opportunities to see these matches and they go 10, 15 minutes, and yeah, it might be tired and everything, but it's like, you guys been wanting this for so long. Why not sit and watch it? And it's like, even if they didn't have a six-man and they had a singles match and it wasn't Sasha Banks out there, they still would have chanted boring. They still would have did the wave, because these fans do not give anything time. They want it then, and they want it right now. And when you give it to them right now, they get tired of it so fast. That's why I was so not hopeful for this Revolution to be a great big thing that's going to change the division. It's not, because you have the fans already walking out on it, and it's a shame.
Yeah, it's like a big botch right now.
My thing is this. So they've done 6 weeks. They've done 2 pay-per-views. We were promised a Revolution. You're not going to get... You don't get people... Who was the last 9-person feud you remember where all 9 got over at the same time?
I don't even know if you can say that about the NWO, to tell you the truth.
Okay, so I feel like they're telling their announcer to put it over. At the beginning, the crowd was into it. But, at some point, when you put Becky Lynch, who we've only, you know, in her first, basically, singles match, in the ring with Tamina, and that match that match was fine. The crowd reacted to it fine. But, that's not helping Becky Lynch at all.
Because that's not the wrestling that got them this demand.
This is a lot of retrospect talking, but if they had brought them up and said they're all gunning for your title, Nikki, as Sierra said earlier, and then all of a sudden you have Sasha Banks fighting Charlotte. You have Paige fighting Becky Lynch. You have Naomi taking on Sasha Banks. We wouldn't be having these problems. Like, a lot of stuff is, I feel like the most talented girls are all, like, in situations where they can't, like, fight it. Like, you have a team of Paige, Charlotte, and Becky together. They can never wrestle each other.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
And you know, it's crazy, like, when the night when they debuted, Stephanie McMahon, she said, well, Nikki Bella, you complain you don't have competition. Here's your competition. And when she brought them out, I'm like, okay, I can understand lining people up with, you know, like personalities. And I figured, like, oh, it's going to be on. Like, you know, everybody's gets each other. But what happened was the next week they started with these fucking names for the teams. And I'm just like, why are we doing this? Like, it's bad enough, you know, Nikki Bella's got, you know, her sister and Alicia in her corner. But now you're basically telling us that these other girls you just brought up and you're telling us that are so great are not good enough to challenge for the belt because they had to be in a fucking team with Paige.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like it's a case of WWE wanting to brand everything. And it's just not cool. Like, they're taking away the cool factor from it.
I feel like what they did was they say, you know what? Like, a lot of, like, normally with the Divas Division, we have people that, like, you never see on TV. So what we're going to do is, they basically, like, in a weird way, they rose, like, the floor of the Divas Division. Uh-huh. But they also, like,
lowered the ceiling.
They kept the ceiling exactly the same. By them doing this, like, there was, like, the ceiling couldn't go higher when it's like, all right, you have Ric Flair's fucking daughter who can wrestle her ass off. You have Sasha Banks who is one of the most entertaining heels, man or woman or man, and you have another piece to go with that can eventually turn into something down the road as well.
They all keep just beating each other too. That's another underrated part of it. Like, no one's ever going to get over.
Yeah, like this. Yeah, I mean. Like, you're basically at the expense of Naomi and Paige, who were, as Sierra just said, were chasing after Nikki for months and months and months. And then they just out here just get tapped. And also Nikki. Nikki's out here tapping out the shots of Banks. Even, like, they're doing stuff that's weird. Like, the tag match where everything went off the fucking rails. The first, before the commercial break, you have Team PCB basically cutting off the half of the ring from the from Nikki to make a tag to get out, and they're tagging each other in like they're the fucking Shield.
I feel like there is like a conflict in booking going on backstage, because it's like, I know from Nikki and Brie doing an interview, I would say this was like back in like May or something like that, that they wanted Charlotte, they wanted Bayley, they wanted Sasha Banks, they wanted Becky Lynch to be brought up to the roster, because they said they were complaining backstage about, you know, there needs to be new girls, fresh talent for all of us to fight. We're fighting the same people over and over. It's time to bring them up. And apparently, when they threw all three girls out there, is one, they got tired of the complaints from the internet, and then two, it was to just to appease them. And I felt like, gosh, like, you know, she is like, they both kind of like campaigning that, you know, you need to bring these girls up, they're good, and you throw all three of them out there, you don't give them a chance to get the fuck over, you throw them in a team, and it's like, when I watch the matches and stuff, and like you were saying, James, like, everybody's like pinning each other, I'm just sitting there like, okay, so Sasha Banks has a non-title win over the fucking champion, and there's no title match.
Not even that, Sierra. She beats the champion, then defends her, and then loses her belt in one of the best matches of the year on Saturday.
Yep.
Then follow up that 6 day between, they follow that up with she's on the team that gets eliminated first.
In five minutes.
Yeah. And then ain't even on fucking TV the next day.
Because whatever the booking is, and I know there's that report out that saying that, like, John Cena behind the scenes doesn't want Nikki Bella to drop the belt to any of the girls or whatever. I don't believe that.
Me either, because, and even if that was the case, because a part of that plan was saying Charlotte was supposed to win the belt the first night. Yeah. What exactly did that do for Paige?
Yeah, on top of that, I don't believe that because Nikki Bella said that, you know, when she was doing that interview, she said it right out of her mouth, like, she wants to put them over. And that's why I say with these matches where everybody's getting wins over each other, I think that she has a part of that. Like, saying, like, we need to get them over, too. Like, it just can't be straight Bella's dominating. Which makes sense, but none of it is making any sense. Because if you can sit there and actually think about it, like, who can you actually see challenging her at Night of Champions?
Honestly, the only person that I felt they've done any remote justice to is Charlotte at the beginning. Because Charlotte was basically the person getting all the pins and tap outs. But that's the only thing they've done even remotely. They've done anything you would call well so far over these past 6 weeks. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'll say this. The matches in quality are better, but they're not like, they're still not as good as what you see on NXT and you just tune in on the network.
Well, I think it's the reason why the matches are not, like, you know, spectacular. And I hear everybody try to, like, compare it to NXT. And the thing is, NXT and Raw are two different shows. I tell people that all the time.
Right.
The problem is they're trying to use the same formula that works on NXT on Raw. You can't throw all these girls in one match and it comes out great.
Right.
This is not that fatal four-way. You can't do that. You have to build up towards it. You have to do your singles match, your singles match, your singles match, maybe tag team match, singles match, single match. You have to keep building up to it to the point where everybody's like, dang, I want all four of them in the ring. Dang, I want all of them in the ring.
Right.
You can't do that because when you throw all nine of those girls in the ring, everybody immediately says, because it's WWE Divas and based on history, oh, this is going to be a clusterfuck.
And they're all on the same level.
Honestly, it's become like a self-fulfilling prophecy. They were like, oh, okay, y'all want... It was almost like the stuff that you were hearing about people saying, we're going to give this as much rope as we can for it to fail the similar way to Kevin Dunn with Kevin Owens. This is like the same thing. Like, we're going to give it every opportunity, and we're not going to necessarily book this the thing the best way in the world, but even when it doesn't work, we can still say we tried.
Yep.
But do you guys think, like, because every time I watch Raw and stuff, like, I don't get to watch it live. I get to watch it, like, the next day or whenever.
Uh-huh.
And they constantly have to remind us that it's a Divas Revolution and...
Branding.
You know, make references to people being feminists and stuff like that. Like, do you guys think, like, if they stop shoving that down fans' throats, that they would give this a chance?
I feel like if they did something, if they went back to something very simple and basic as, okay, y'all might still have you still have them be affiliated with all three of their gangs because, right? Because this is something you got to do. If Stephanie comes out tomorrow on Raw next week and says, all right, out of the, you know, there's nine girls, we're throwing you eight into a tag team tournament. I'm sorry, a number one contenders tournament, and we're going to have the first two matches on Raw, the other two matches on SmackDown this week, and then the winners of those have those two matches, basically the final four the next week on Raw, and they have a number one contenders match for the right to fight Nikki Bella at Night of Champions. After that, if they did like that and just said, all right, and then let whatever happen with the storylines of, you know, teammate versus teammate fight, or, you know, game member versus game member fighting each other and ramifications of what happens with that and people turn on each other, and just make it simple. It'll fix itself just like that. Like, forget trying to have
matches.
Yeah, like, you can do that or whatever, you know, because if you want to have two matches.
Aren't wrestling, you know, in the tournament.
Yeah, like, just make it as simple as that, and that will fix this. And you just have them go out and wrestle. You ain't got to have them talk. You just have them go out there and wrestle. And you have a backstage segment here and there over the next 3 weeks, and it will be all, and that, all this stuff will go away. Because honestly, I don't think this is like what we're going to see next week, the reaction. But the thing is, like, that's something that we're like, when you see that, it's possible that the tides are turning, so you better figure out what the fuck you're going to do next, otherwise he's going to turn on you.
But see, like, okay. I knew, like, the fans were kind of, like, turning on this Revolution kid, because, you know, before I even watched Raw, and I was, like, reading stuff about, like, United in a Wave, the fans were chanting stuff, and I was just, like, looking at my Twitter timeline, and just, like, everybody up and down my timeline was just, like, we're over this, I'm tired of this, this is boring, blah, 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 and I was just, like, wow, like, this has been successful, like, you've got people going back to thinking things that they were thinking about this happening, and it's just, hopefully they can figure out a way to turn this around, but I think it's a bad idea to try to position Charlotte as that next girl to girl. She is natural fucking heel. I don't understand why she's on the babyface team. Put her with Team Bad or something.
I like her as a heel in NXT also.
No, there was no way to put her. Like, given the fact that this is how it was, all right, so if, I mean, I feel like maybe Sasha could play a heel, could play a face better than Charlotte could, but yeah, ultimately when you bring her in and you say that's Ric Flair's daughter, like, people are going to cheer naturally. Like, I mean, that, like, she'll get a heel turn in time. That's obvious. But what I mean, like, when you bring her out, like, in the, given that you already had, you had six or three people coming out, there are going to be two, there are going to be three teams, and then one team's already completely filled. Like, that's kind of how it's going to go. You knew Becky Lynch was going to get thrown with Paige because of, you know, because of the European connection. And then it was like, all right, they wouldn't throw with Sasha, and they basically went to the lowest common denominator, which is like, yeah, put the girl that looks like those girls with them.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, PCB is like, how would you say, like, it's like the Team Golden Girls, like, the top, like, the next big things in division. Paige is pretty much the biggest babyface in division right now. And, of course, you're going to stick the girl you want to have be the next babyface, and then the girl that could possibly be the next babyface in that team. Okay, fine. But when you look at Team Bad, and it's just like, okay, Naomi is a multiple-time challenger. Mm-hmm. Never win.
Habitual challenger.
Tamina is...
The worst. Just say the worst.
The drizzling shits.
You know what? She kind of like redeemed herself for me on Total Divas this morning. Like, I mean, she was about to bless that dude's soul. I was just not ready. Like, don't be trying to pick a fight with Tamina outside the bar, people. Like,
she ain't no small chick though either.
So no, the dude came out the bar and told them that they suck. Her and Natalya and Naomi told them they suck and they need to leave the bar or whatever. And he came, like, charging at Tamina and did a roundhouse kick.
What?
Yes.
That's a work. That ain't real. That's a work. That's like one of those fake reality stories. That's a plant. That ain't nothing but a plant. You know how reality shows get down. Like, we got to make it more interesting. Yeah. Go out there and do this. Yeah, they sent that dude down.
Look, that man's a wrestler in NXT, and we don't know.
Like, no, I mean, I'm not saying anything about what they could or could not do to some jackass that wants to, you know, pop off at the mouth. Look, Natalya stretch a bitch out in a heartbeat. But at the same time, that sounds too absurd. That's so ridiculous. Hey, that's so ridiculous.
They charge at you ninja style.
Yes, that's so ridiculous. That's gotta be. That's gotta be.
If I explain to you like what all happened in the bar, this is what. Natalya was in the bar, she was drinking and whatever, and she was acting a little bit ridiculous. So I guess the guy was one of the people in the bar that got annoyed by her actions or whatever, and he came out there and he was like, you guys suck, you're ruining the bar and whatever, and Tamina was like, excuse me, like, we are not even bothering you, and he just was like, you guys suck, and she was like, who sucks? He's like, you suck, and then he comes at her, he's like, with this roundhouse kick, and I'm like, oh my god. All I know is that when they put that camera on Tamina, she had the snooker eyes, and she went to reach for that boy. I was just like, oh my god, this is not gonna be good. This is not good.
Well, you know her daddy killed somebody before.
Moving on.
Up next, we had a new member of the Wyatt family. Dude is fucking huge. Braun Strowman.
Is it Strowman or Stoneman?
I think it's Strowman. I don't know.
What?
He's fucking massive.
He's like some type of bread.
Like, the dude was his background is he's a former competitive, strongest man, competitive lifter. Yeah, strongman. Like, you ever watch, or back in the day, you turn over to like ESPN2 and you see like Magnus and Magnum Men. You know, somebody that's Swedish that weighs like 350 pounds lifting like Atlas boulders and all that kind of stuff, and lifting like what is it like beer crates and all that kind of stuff, and trying to 400 pounds on that stuff. Like, he's one of those guys. That dude's gigantic. Like, he's way bigger than Luke Harper. Way bigger.
Yeah. He skipped directly over NXT.
Yeah.
So we'll see what that actually means for him. Whether he's just a big stiff or,
at that size, ain't no choice but to be stiff.
He's like, he looks like Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper merged together.
Exactly.
Just taller.
Yeah, like, he, this is one thing that kind of gets me with the Roman Reigns hate. Like, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose put that man over like as good as you possibly could.
Looked like a killer.
Yeah, like, just no selling, just super kicks to the face. Like, he choked both of them out. Like, it is fantastic. Like that dude looks like. Like, that's about
that
as
man,
well
that
as you
man gonna be fighting Cena.
That's eventually. As well as about that's about as well you can put somebody over. First night in on a Raw.
Eventually, like. That guy, unfortunately, though, he might have shown up 30 years too late.
Yeah, because, like, once we get past these first few, like, this first, like, 6 months, people will be like, yeah, man, where is your work rate?
So what can you do? Oh.
Yeah.
All right, just make them dance, whatever.
Oh, wow.
we also had the Dudley Boys show back up.
Yes.
And run out there on the New Day.
Oh, my God. How did we take this long?
New Day versus Dudley Boys.
I don't know how it took us this long to get to what the New Day did at Raw. Oh, my gosh. Go ahead, man. Fill them in.
All right. Well, the New Day came out there with the trombone. and talking about their gear being on fleek. And once again, Brooklyn being dirty.
Yeah, like, they basically just... They basically rewrote Spread the News.
The Dudley Boys come out there and do them, put them through a table.
Oh, you forgot the part. They win the match, and as their Kofi and Big E are going to give their tag team finish, Xavier Woods starts playing, like, the funeral song, like, that, da 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 da. And as a finisher, I mean, it was just so good, man. These dudes, they just next level with it. Like, I thought at first that wasn't, he was actually playing the trombone, and then later you find out, oh, yeah, he actually is. It's just...
That boy talented. Oh, man.
Dudley's came out. Everyone lost their minds.
We're running a little long on time, so we're just going to jump into the NXT TakeOver. Just quick parts of that. Apollo Crews made his debut and looked like a goddamn star in the process.
Yeah.
What were you guys' impressions of him?
Go ahead, Sierra.
I was going to let you go first.
Nah, you go.
Why?
Because. You know why.
No, you go first.
One question. Is Apollo Crews bae, Sierra?
Oh, you put her on the spot. I can't believe you did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a yes. Okay, that's all. That's all I wanted to know. James.
She ain't gonna never, bro. After this and then the Sierra song, she ain't gonna never show up on this radio podcast again. Yeah, I mean, dude's a star. You can see, like, the athleticism of the springs, the body type. He may be a little on the short side. I mean, I think he's probably 5'11".
Yeah, 6 foot.
Yeah, so, I mean, other than that, like, he's ready to go. I'm ready to see what he does on NXT.
Samoa Joe and Baron Corbin had a match. I thought it was much better than what we expected.
Corbin's best match. Easily.
He loses via submission to Samoa Joe. We had Jushin Thunder Liger show up and fight Tyler Breeze. Once again, Tyler Breeze being fed to someone else. Liger, pretty old now, but he was still stunning. He came out there, did that Liger bomb. He did that front flip to the outside. And he was also mocking Tyler Breeze, which was very funny. Then we had the NXT Women's title match, which was absolutely phenomenal. We had Bayley showing up in the white and gold. We had Sasha Banks showing up with the security. Four big dudes.
She had four Virgils. Yes.
Yeah, she had four Virgils with black glasses, and she pulled up in the Escalade that cost more than most people's houses, according to Corey Graves. This is just the boss's life.
She rolls deep.
You know, she rolls deep, you know, on that NXT contract.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too.
And then Sasha and Bayley proceed to have the greatest women's match in WWE history.
Something like that. It's up there. Something like that. I gotta rewatch them, but you know, in my mind, like that's definitely in the shorthand list. So that just being mentioned is good enough. Yeah, man. Like it was just 18 minutes and change of just magic. They put like there was no how do the old timers say like everything that happened in the ring meant something. They timed everything out right. Pace was excellent. They hit their peak at the finish, which is what you hope for in any match.
The reverse Hurricanrana.
Yeah, just fantastic. There's not enough like good things I could say about that match.
I already knew I was not going to be disappointed by this match because both of them, they're both great in the ring and. I don't know what it is. It's like they really know how to turn on one, especially when it's a big show like TakeOver. And the match was just great up and down. I have like no complaints. I was waiting for somebody to find a complaint. And so far I haven't seen anybody make a complaint. And I like the finish. I like how everything ended. And it was just like really nice and refreshing to see Bayley succeed a title after such a long, long time coming.
Yep.
I thought they were going to give her the belt, like, before they handed the belt to Sasha. I thought they were going to give her the belt then.
You thought she
was... And then we had to wait, and, you know.
So you thought, like, so at what point? You think during the Fatal 4-Way match that those four had, you thought that was when she was going to win it?
I thought that she was going to win then, and I believe the Charlotte match she had against Charlotte.
Okay. Yeah, I watched that match last night. Like, it was only like a 10-minute match. It was great, but it was 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, both those matches, I thought she was going to win, but I figured, you know, maybe they're building up for something special, and it was something very special to see, and like I said, it's been a long time coming, and I remember when she first got signed, and they gave her this gimmick, everybody thought she was going to be released in a year, it wasn't going to get anywhere, and look.
How about it now?
The best baby face in the business. Like, I don't give a fuck what none of y'all say. Like, Brock Lesnar, you can kiss my ass. John Cena, you kiss my ass. Daniel Bryan's not here right now. Yeah, it's Bayley. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't... Dude, just... Sasha...
Sami Zayn is injured.
Look, I love Sasha to death. She's just... every time there's a big match, she comes out there and she just wows me every single time.
She sells her
ass off. She makes these people look like crazy. Like she almost died twice in that match. Like she almost blew her knee out once. She almost got herself a concussion when she during that suicide dive flip. Just Bayley and just everything. Like she's Macho Man. She's Shawn Michaels. She's Ultimate Warrior. Like the colors. Like every. I can't say enough. Like she's just every. Like she's gonna be like one of those like 20 years from now. She's gonna be like a huge ambassador for. I just see it. Just a huge ambassador for the WWE. And they'll bring around people will lose their minds when they see her. Like she's just such a throwback white meat baby face that works in a time when you don't think stuff like that should even be able to happen.
Right.
I just remember, like, when they gave her, like, the whole, like, naive gimmick, and she's so nice.
The doe-eyed girl.
She wants to be friends with everybody. She wants to hug everybody. Mm-hmm. I remember everybody's like, you know, man, this is not going to work. Why would they do that to Davina Rose, which was her indie name? And I'm just like, this is going somewhere. Like, it's leading to something. And then when she would, like, show spurts of, like, when she would get mad and, like, get aggressive in the ring, everybody starts... started comparing it to Festus, and I'm like, no, it's not the same thing.
Like, the...
You know,
her comeback and her fire is just unbelievable. Like, when she... Like, the one in particular that stood out to me was a Fatal 4-Way match when she snapped, and then she gave the super Bayley to belly suplex on Charlotte. And then, Saturday night, when she gives that reverse Hurricane Rana, like, there are two points, actually. When she basically flips up, she loses it, flips up Sasha, and then gives her the first Bayley to belly. And then when she gives a reverse Hurricane Rana, she basically, like, she snaps off, starts throwing, she threw off her dusty wristband, and then finished the match. It was just,
yeah,
like, that damn girl is just unbelievable.
Then we had the NXT title match right after. Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor.
That wasn't the main event that we just talked about?
It wasn't.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't. But perhaps it should have been.
Yeah.
These guys had a tough act to follow, and they had a ladder match to do it, which isn't the easiest match to have now, just because we've seen so many of them.
Yeah.
And they're kind of all the same.
Only thing we ain't seen is someone die yet.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. I don't think Jeff Hardy's in the company anymore, so.
You know, it might be possible.
You know, they bring RVD.
You know, Nelly's back.
You know, they bring RVD out every so often, too, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I'm going to say is, if that ever happens again, just one appearance, I'm going to be a 12-year-old girl. So, y'all forgive me that night.
Tune in. And we're going to get her on air to talk about it. But Finn Balor basically defends the championship against Owens. They have, you know, they didn't do the spot that I, you know, I thought they were going to set it up. Like, it almost happened. But,
yeah.
It was really physical. Owens took a lot of damage.
It was about as clean of a ladder match win as you can get. Because, like, Kevin Owens, like, outside of the finish, he never even climbed up the ladder. I mean, honestly, be honest with you, neither did...
Balor.
Well, Balor did once or twice. Actually, like, started to climb it. But Kevin Owens only climbed the ladder until the finish, when he basically got thrown off to his death.
What I saw this night of NXT being was kind of the end of an era for NXT, as far as Kevin Owens being there and Sasha Banks and Becky and Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So close of one chapter, starting another with Apollo Crews showing up. Baron Corbin is gaining his footing. They showed a couple folks in the crowd that are going to start making an impact. Kana and I think
Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah, him too. I heard his debut. Flair, you know, who else was out there? Zara Schreiber. I don't know exactly what she wrestles.
Is
like.
That
that's Rollins' girl.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah. How is Kana making an impact?
She signed with them?
What?
It's assumed.
Yeah, it's assumed. It's that, assumed. That
yeah, by I'll just say by a freaking dumbass Spanish site.
Well,
who has no sources about anything.
Well, there have been words that, like, her, like, she had, like, she's with Shimmer, correct?
She's not signed with Shimmer. Shimmer doesn't have contracts.
Okay, I mean, well, not signed, but she was working at Shimmer, right?
She's worked with Shimmer, yes.
Yeah, like, apparently, well, wherever she was working, like, she's running out of dates really soon. So it's kind of like
putting two
together. It's kind of like connect the dots thing. Obviously, okay, nothing's set in stone, but you know.
But see, here's the problem. She's not signed anybody. She's a freelancer.
Right.
She's announced her hiatus from wrestling,
mm-hmm.
which will be on September 15th, because she needs a break. She's been going for 10 years strong.
Well, okay. She might retire from wrestling, but, you know, there's plenty of room to come out here and sports entertain.
Well, my thing is this. If you're WWE, why would you place her right next to Ric Flair and Sergeant Slaughter if you know that a lot of people don't know who she is unless they had something cooking up?
Well, she's a guest. I mean, why not?
I'm shocked she didn't hop out the crowd and just annihilate them four in the ring after, you know, when they was doing their little crying thing.
Yeah, but also, you guys got to think about it. They just had a recent trip to Japan. They, you know, before Hideo Itami got injured, they were, you know, constantly shilling the whole Japanese movement. they're trying to get fans into that. So of course they're going to show her and mention that she's a Japanese wrestling legend, you know, to put it over like this stuff is important. They're trying to get these new fans to understand like Japanese wrestling is so important. Like, come on, folks, think about it. Like, they had Jushin Liger on the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, they would never invite him to come if they were not trying to make a strong Japanese presence in that company. Now, the rumors are her being signed. Like I said, I don't believe them until I see it for my fucking self. Because every week, it's somebody rumoring that this right. person signed, this person right. signed. I'd never have any sources.
But I mean, this one's a little different because you actually have seen her, you know, not be advertised, but like, the link is there.
Yeah. But what if she's just going to see a damn show? Doesn't mean she's signing.
Well,
you know? It could be just one of those things, like, you know, you never know. She showed up to the show, somebody recognized her and decided to put her next to Flair and Sergeant Slaughter. That's happened before. So, I mean, that could be the case.
You're right. It could be.
It could be, but
you're right. It definitely could be.
Like, it was kind of calculated because, you know, WWE can easily ignore somebody.
Right. Like, they wouldn't have shown Roderick Strong if he'd been there. Like, they definitely would. Or Adam Cole, none of that. They'd be like, okay, sit, like, yeah, you can't sit here.
Yeah, go somewhere else.
But to be honest, like, I think they would have if they weren't signed to Ring of Honor. If they didn't have any contracts, they would have shown them. Because they're... I don't know if you guys are really paying attention to NXT like that. They're really trying to be in tune with what the internet wants. And, like, all these guys getting signed, like Raw Nation, all these guys have been wrestling for years and being great, and they're being snatched up one by one.
Yeah, they're
because
buying
the games. Indie product is so popular, and they want that on there because they know that's what most fans are drawing towards now, NXT. So... Of course, if they weren't signed and they were sitting there, I'm sure they would have acknowledged them. Like, I think that just comes with, you know, eventually you're going to have to acknowledge these people. You never know, they might be giving them a look. But with her, yeah, I get what you guys are saying, but at the same time, it's just like, for me, a person that covers women's wrestling, it's annoying to have all these fans just make up these rumors and not know if this is true. Because when they go out and put these rumors about, she's had a tryout weeks ago and don't have an actual source saying that she did indeed have a tryout weeks ago, or she skipped a tryout and she's already signed on the dotted line. And it annoys me because those type of rumors have ruined people's chances of being actually signed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if
they were looking at her and these rumors are going out, they're going to either think that she's going and talking to the press, which she's not. The Japanese press doesn't even know anything about this. I've already checked with my source. They don't even know shit about this. That can ruin her chance.
I agree what you're saying. My point was just that, I mean, it was Meltzer mentioned it. That's all.
Well, Meltzer.
Yeah.
I mean, like, come on.
I mean, if there's anybody that's going to write something that you, oh, not necessarily believe, some of you are writing and be like, okay, well, that's an actual legitimate possibility since he mentioned it. That's one of those guys in the wrestling news world.
Okay, you guys will believe that. I'm not believing anything.
Okay. Okay. All right. So
until I see it off the Japanese press.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm not going to sit up and believe something out of his mouth because there's been plenty of times that he's been fed bullshit
right.
and reported it.
Right.
And so, with the case of her being a freelancer and stuff, if she's keeping quiet about it in Japan, how is he going to have news on it?
He's stateside with the company that's allegedly trying to sign him? Anyway, we're just talking in circles. We agree to disagree. Because how many how long are we now?
Yeah, we're almost 90 minutes in. We're going to wrap this show up. We'll be back with you possibly later in the week. You know, never know. We got all this new WCW Monday Nitro sitting on the network now, which is just going to ruin lives everywhere. Just because we're just going to watch WCW all day. Any new columns coming out from you, Sierra?
Yeah, I got the Ring Bells Roundup. I'm actually, like, working on it now. I'm putting together a piece about Blue Pants.
All right.
And, yeah. Blue Pants, might tie Eva Marie in there somehow. It's about all this backlash stuff that's going on.
Blue Pants versus All Red Everything. Man.
Yeah.
This... The Bloods and the Crips are going to love this one. But
just turn everything purple.
Yep. I will be writing more columns soon. I have one talking about the most anticipated new characters in WWE 2K16, which will be out whenever I decide to finish it. James, you got anything coming?
Tomorrow, third week of the footballeducators.com podcast. So, be on the lookout for that. Hopefully, by the time this podcast is over, I'll have confirmation that week two is up, but looking at my phone, it's not up there yet, so okay, just stay tuned.
Alrighty, this is One Nation Radio. Make sure you guys download and share the episodes. We got up to being the number 29 ranked professional sports podcast on automatic.com, so, you know, with you guys' help and downloads and shares and activity, maybe we can get up number one. Alrighty. This is One Nation Radio. It's Rich. Peace.
Later.